Christ. How good it is to gather together in this sacred space, this house of hope. And it feels like a house of hope when we gather together like this, even in the midst of a dreary, dark day. We know what's coming, and yet we are here filled with the Spirit. May it be so for us as we gather together today, as we sing, we pray, we give thanks to God for all of the good things that God gives us. I invite us to call one another to worship today. We share together responsibly the words of a translation of Psalm 1. And I'm the not bold, and you're the bold. It's up on the screen. No, it's not. It's in your bulletins. And we'll share together responsibly. Happiness can't be captured like a wild bird or a bouncing ball. It is always just beyond your grasp.
It is not found in thefts or in passions, nor in climbing to the top of the peak. Happiness comes from being immersed in God.
Instead of struggling to stay on top, yield to the deep flow of God's universe.
We will not drown. We will be caught in the flow of the stream of life.
Foam on the surface flows about. Driftwood piles up on sandbars, people obsessed with themselves, and up as debris on the rocks.
The river rolls on to find happiness, let us be carried away by something stronger than
the social thing. I invite you to rise as you are able, in body or in spirit, be joined to sing our opening. We remember that Elijah recognized the presence of God in sheer silence. But we're in a church, and there will never be sheer silence. because there are people here. And God is present in the people too. All this goodness, all this silence, the luminous silence of God, and the scuffling of feet and coughing and opening of candy wrappers, at least that's what I would do if I were sitting in the pews. All of these things, the presence of God all around. And in this confidence that we can pray, knowing that we do not need to be one thing or the other, but simply be who you are. With all of your joys, with all of your concerns, your pain, your scars, your curly hair or updo, you are a beloved child of God. And we can rest in confidence, dwelling in love, and sharing love with one another. Let us then live out who we say we are. Let us be for one another the body of Christ. I invite us then, as you feel comfortable, as you feel guided, I invite us to share our joys, our concerns, our hopes, our fears, our very selves, to open our hearts to God and to one another, so that we can share in our joy and help carry our burden. Are there joys or concerns that you would lift this time? I'll go here and then over there.
I would like prayers for my grandson's fiance, Molly, whose mother died of something like Alzheimer's, and her service was yesterday, a beautiful service, but she died too young for Molly. It's really hard on Molly and her stepfather, Sean.
Thank you for sharing.
I fell twice and I hurt my breast and my knee, and I need prayer because I fell twice and then
My concern is I haven't had anyone come and offer to help with dishes downstairs. And the bigger concern is that next Sunday I serve, so I need someone to help me with the dishes. So if there's any guys here who are going to help with the dishes, please let me know. My other concern is that our goodies in the freezer is almost empty, so if you want to bring something, but remember the bake sale is also next Saturday, so I'm not going to twist your arm for the freezer if you're going to bring something for the bake sale. Okay, but please approach me if you can help me with dishes.
Each Sunday morning as I look out onto the parking lot, there's a real special good feeling I get when I see it so full as it is this morning. And to me, that means that there's going to be an even greater experience in here. So let's keep coming and let's keep bringing our friends. Thank you.
Thanks. Let's remember the people who are suffering from the remains of the hurricane and have lost their homes, have lost all kinds of things. Thank you for sharing. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words printed in our bulletin, and there are little ellipses, and then after that I'll offer a moment of silence again. And then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. So just go with the flow, I'll guide you. We can pray together. And there are words that, if you feel comfortable sharing them, then we can say. We can pray saying, Jesus, thank you for not giving me a lecture on time management, but your gentle and humble heart and your yoke of grace. You always spend time with God, and yet you were always present with the people around you, still you accomplished God's will. May it be the same for me. Yoked to you, I trust you for a palpable sense of your presence and a clear sense of priorities. Help me to do what I do today with wisdom and kindness and for your glory. Lead me, guide me through my days. Beloved, you are a child of God. God loves you. God knows you. You are enough. We are all children of God. We are a family, an open family. So we pray together to our common parent. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. and the whole world is breathing and groaning and hoping and wishing that we would. May you pass the peace of Christ. May you live the peace of Christ. May you share, may you dance, may you sing, may you offer peace. Will you pass the peace of Christ?
Go to a movie?
That sounds like a lot of fun. What would you do on your favorite day?
Go to a movie.
joining in our happiness, God is happy and is enjoying too. And you can celebrate Sabbath in the movie theater and at your birthday party. And where would you celebrate your favorite day? At your birthday party? That's so great. And wherever you are, at your house, at your birthday party, at a friend's birthday party, you are with God, because God is always with you. God loves you and Scooby and Hedwig and all of your friends. And what was this little one over here?
It's a koala.
That's a koala?
Losing my tooth.
Oh, you got it for losing your tooth. Those are wonderful. And I hope that you can maybe remember what makes your days really happy and special, and remind your parents to celebrate and share your favorite things with you. I hope that you have a good day. It would be great if one day you would say, my favorite day is coming to church. I wonder if any of you would say that. I won't go there. But I hope you celebrate a great day today. I hope you have a good time at Kids Quest. Let us pray. How do you pray? We'll just be quiet for a moment, and we'll say, thank you, God, for loving us and filling our lives with good things.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, stock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The second reading is from the New Testament and is taken from Eugene Peterson's his version. And that's chapter 11, 28 through 30. And this is Jesus talking about the Sabbath. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
And I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing number 2025, Ask the Deer.
Thank you.
Thank you. My mentor, while I was going through the ordination process, he was a clergy, I think he came from Canby, Minnesota, south, like in the farm country. And he quipped once, he said, pastors are like manure. When you get a bunch of them together, they stink. But spread them around and they do some good. It has nothing to do with the sermon today. I just think it's really funny. And more or less true. Also, when you get a bunch of pastors together, we're a strange breed. You get a bunch of pastors together, they talk about how they are. And how pastors always are is they're always busy. I'm busy, every pastor always does. And it's sort of like a competition, I think, to be like, to see who's the busiest. And I know why, and I kind of feel this way sometimes too, that if I'm busy, then I feel like I'm effective, like I'm doing my job. You can't fault me for saying I'm too busy, right? I'm so busy, we say to one another, with pride. As if exhaustion is a trophy. The busier we are, we imagine, or I think pastors, I don't know, what are pastors doing that they're so busy? The more important we seem, we imagine. To be unavailable for family, for friends, for fun, is the model of a successful life. Where did we get this idea? Now, to be fair, I'm meeting with my district superintendent this week, and when she asks me how I'm doing, if I say, well, I've been lying around and eating a lot of chocolate, I know how that would go. But where did we get this idea that we are more important, that we're better, that we are doing our job? That we accomplish more, the busier we are. Where do we get this idea that doing something is better than doing nothing? We are, my beloved. We are human beings, not human doings. You are a beloved child of God simply because you exist. I have two dogs, Franklin and Yuri. And go ahead, they're terrible. They're awful dogs. Yuri barks at everyone. And Franklin, he ate 3 pairs of glasses. Go ahead, can you show them? Show them the picture. You see, that's Franklin right there. You know what he's doing? He's waiting for the mail lady to come so he can bite off her kneecaps. That's a terrible, it's an objectively terrible dog. But I love Franklin with my whole heart. Even if he poops in the living room. I won't have children, but I'm guessing that the same is for you parents out there. Just a little side note, parents, do you love your children because of what they do for you? What have your children done for you lately? I don't know. It's good that my mom is not here. She would tell you nothing. This is how God loves you. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Your Creator loved you before you could do anything. This is what we claim in our baptisms. The whole church claims this. We love you, and you're a useless little baby. We hold up useless little babies and pour water and grace, and we claim them as our beloved. Remember your baptism and be thankful. By honoring and celebrating the Sabbath, which is a commandment, by the way, we claim the gift of our baptisms. We claim the gift of our humanness, our humanity, which, by the way, God so loves. God so loves you. Humanness. Remember, God loves him so much that God even puts it on sometimes. Honoring the Sabbath. The Sabbath is like a gift, is like life. It's a gift, sheer gift. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's like grace. It is grace. And you don't get to decide if others deserve it, if others have worked enough to be able to go on and take their Sabbath or earned it this week. This is the hope of God for us, that we will celebrate and honor the Sabbath and remember who we are by resting. That is what Sabbath means. It means rest in Hebrew. In our Jewish sisters and brothers tradition, the day begins at sunset. In other words, Jews get ready for the day by going to bed. Going to sleep. First things first, you let God be God. And let God be in charge. When you wake up, then you're ready. Then and only then are we ready to work with God. If we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the signs, the compass points that show us where to go. Hurried and scurried people miss the nourishment of daily manna. We scroll right by the silence that would give us wisdom. We brush, paint, scoot, tabulate, strategize right through the joy of effortless delight. So what is Sabbath? Rest or release? The commandment is don't work. Not just you, but all of your family, all the people you know, all your livestock. I don't know how it is with livestock, but I think livestock are working pretty hard these days. On Sabbath day, when you take it, you simply live, simply be, you simply are. This is easier said than done. When was the last time you took a Sabbath day? What Sabbath looks like is different for every single person. I know a woman for whom working in the garden would be a gift from God. For me, I love to hike through the woods. I also love to lie around. For other people, lying around would make them go crazy. Whatever it is that fills you with life, with joy, that is what is for you as Sabbath. I was in the coffee shop this morning. Every Sunday, every Sunday I buy a New York Times and a Danish at the Starbucks. And today at Starbucks, they were playing Simon and Garfunkel. And it was as if I were walking into the Sabbath room. It was sheer joy to eat a Danish and listen to Cecilia. Sabbath is simply time away from the wheel. Time when we take our hands off the plow and let God take care of things for a little while. While we drink from the river of life, while we drink deeply from the well of living water. Sabbath is more than the absence of work. It is not a day off, which you also need. It's not a day to catch up on TV or to run errands. It is attention, awareness, and honoring of the Spirit that sustains and heals us. It is sleep. It is rest. It is making soup or drawing or being creative. It's making love or staring off into space. I found a poem about Sabbath. And I'm going to invite you to take a look at it. I'll read it. You know, I don't know if I made enough copies for everybody, but I hope I did. Sometimes I worry about making copies because all the ink, all the paper. Jesus and I talked it through, and he said, it's okay this time. But don't make a habit of it. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, I won't make a habit of it. This is a poem by Lynn Unger. It's called Camel Lilies. Consider the lilies of the field. The blue banks of Hamas opening into acres of sky along the road. Would the longing to lie down be washed by that beauty? Abate if you knew their usefulness. How the natives ground their bulbs for flour, how the settlers' hogs uprooted them, grunting in gleeful oblivion as the flowers fell. And you, what of your rushed and useful life? Imagine setting it all down, papers, plans, appointments, everything, leaving only a note. Gone to the fields to be lovely. Be back when I'm through with looming. Even now, unneeded and uneaten, the camelilies gaze out above the grass from their tender blue eyes. Even in sleep, your life will shine. Make no mistake. Of course, your work will always matter. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Flip through to the questions, Jim. So I'll give you 2 minutes. I invite you to consider, you can talk to your people around you or simply meditate for a moment. Given your unique character, what would bring you life on your Sabbath day? What would your favorite day look like? And how might celebrating the Sabbath shape your identity as a child of God? Any thoughts, friends, that you want to share? Oh, go ahead, Brad.
And the second question, is it supposed to be spare your identity or spar?
That would be shape your identity.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
But spar brings up an interesting thought, doesn't it?
Because, you know, when you think traditionally about the Sabbath, it's sort of you know, a day where you really don't do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, like, vacuuming might just be one of the things you would do on a day that's really awesome. You know, mm-hmm. On top of eating and cooking and mountain biking and vacuuming and mountain biking and vacuuming again. But, you know, it's considered work if it's really a lot of fun.
Vacuuming and mountain biking and vacuuming again. It might be a lot of fun for some folks. We don't get to decide, for anybody else, how they might spend their Sabbath.
Just like you were talking about hiking with the dog and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, to me, it's just one of the things I love about being outside is it gives you an opportunity to be away from stuff and noise, and not just physical noise, like, you know, Facebook noise, and Google News noise, and, you know, texting noise, and work noise.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's one thing that we all, you know, we all sorely lack. Like, mm-hmm. You were talking about pastors being busy, and, you know, pastors got nothing on. When our kids are growing up, every parent in the world is like, oh, my kids are so busy, they're 5 sports for a kid. So it's like a competition to see how stressed you can be at 11 o'clock.
Sometimes it feels like it's a competition, there's lots of noise, which is sometimes nothing to the noise in my own brain, but the noise all around us and also the competition. And Lisa, I wonder, what is it we're doing? What are we so busy accomplishing anyway? On her Sabbath, Muriel reads the Bible 3 times a day and reads a religious book. Wow. Sally.
I'm floating on my air mattress at the cabin, looking at the clouds and the birds that fly overhead, and then I dry off and read a book.
Oh, Sally is floating on her air mattress at the cabin and reads a book. Oh, I love it. Go ahead, Fred.
Still does this, but in the past, every time you saw him, and before he was a sheriff's deputy, so he always had a Bible in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, in the second part, when you look at your identity as a child of God, it'd be nice to be seen a little bit more, but how do you get that across? But the hard part is, and I think sometimes maybe seeing what your Bible more makes sense. It does make a statement.
Mm-hmm. Fred had a friend who carried his Bible around with him and identified him as a child of God. Catherine.
On the second question, if I do relax and enjoy the Sabbath, is it to me kind of just listen to and be aware of whatever is going on?
Catherine spending time celebrating the Sabbath would afford her time to listen to God within and without.
Anytime you go to the store, yoga.
Mm-hmm. Every time you go to yoga, it's also a Sabbath. May you spend time this week in the field being fabulous. May it be so. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer, to open our minds to considering this time as part of our Sabbath, that our lives, our whole lives, are an offering to God. And I do like everybody else does when you just do what you've always done. So I've been creating the worship experience and filling out the order of service. And I'm becoming aware that the order of service that I shared at my former congregation is different than the order of service, which had been a tradition here. And so in my experience, I've had the offering and announcements before the sermon, kind of in the middle of the service. So that, I don't know, that it would be like the highlight. And then everything after that would kind of fall off the hill, so the expectations would be lowered. But also, I want to, as we have an offering after the sermon, the message, I want to be very clear that there is not a direct line between the quality of my preaching and how much money you give. Nor do I want there to be a connection to what you think I'm saying or what I might have said and your giving or your heart for God. I hope that I'm not a huge disappointment for you, but also I know that it will happen and that your relationship with God and your desire to give, there are no barriers to that. I invite us to give and to continue to give and receive. May our whole lives be an offering to God. May our whole lives be imbued with love, hope, joy, and peace. Let us give and receive.
Wonderful, this were your Sabbath?
The bake sale is on Saturday. There are styrofoam trays on the table downstairs. There are rounds if you're going to do a cake. I need one more person to be a runner for me. I have pricers and I have accountants. Setup is on Thursday. If you're bringing your things on Friday night, they have to go down in the basement. If you're bringing them on Saturday morning, please bring them early so they can be priced and put on the table, and bring them to the Matheson room. I think I've covered everything. Oh, the pickles. The pickles are done. And I did make extra. And if you weren't signed up for pickles and want them, they'll be on the bake sale table. I think that's it.
Sarah?
Yeah?
You probably have one of these in your bulletin. If not, there are extras in the back. This is Desserts with Sarah. Tomorrow is the kind of deadline, and so I'm handing everything over to the office. So anything you put in there will go into the office, and the hosts will be notified. So it should be lots of fun.
It'll be lots of fun. Oh, my.
Lots of desserts. That's a good day.
Wonderful. I invite us to continue in a spirit to re-sing our song now. Is it Peace Like a River? Okay, we're going to sing Peace Like a River because it's perfect for Sabbath, but I cannot. We have hand motions. If you want to do hand motions, you can. You don't have to. Nobody will look. But if you want to, you can follow. You can follow me because I cannot stop myself. If you, so I invite you to rise as you are able in body or in spirit, and we'll sing, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And then you've got joy like a mountain. And then you've got love like an ocean in your soul. Okay, we can do it. Or not. You don't have to. But it's fun. But go in peace, go in love, hope, and joy.